Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, and I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. We are podcasting on site at Ibis Images Studios. Attention chefs and GMs and bar managers, are you looking for a fantastic food photographer to capture your delicious dishes, cool cocktails, and your property's amazing architecture? Well, get with John Hernandez. Check him out at ibisimages.com. He is always in focus. It's election season at the ACF, and today we're going to interview Chef LJ Klink. He's running for the ACF Western Regional VP. Let's dig in, but first, attention all chefs and food buyers. Are you looking to improve your proteins program with quality and service by the best in the beef business? Reach out to Peninsula Food Service. With 25 butchers on staff, their services will dazzle you and impress your dining guests. Peninsula is the largest Creekstone Farm distributor in the Southeast United States. Let the gang at Peninsula Food Service cut your beef burdens away. Ask about their dry age program. Look them up at peninsulafood.com. That's like a mouthful, man. Chef Jeffrey Schlissel, how are you doing, my man?
Fantabulous again, sir.
I love it. Tell me more about food. Just jump right into the greasy goodness. Go.
Oh, this one is definitely up the realm of that, because I just showed John, the producer. So we were talking about a couple weeks ago. It was cold that one day, yes, for 41 degrees, and it shifted to like 80 something.
Right.
So I was like, okay, it's going to be cold out. I got to do something really cool. So I went back and I did the chicken and dumplings.
Nice.
Yeah. So we blanched it, a little bit of drum cream sherry.
That's
on the top.
Not the picture you
showed.
No, I know.
I was showing you something else. That was a picture of the person that's on the phone.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to show it to you.
Okay.
So, but the what I love about the dumplings is that.
Does he know you have that sort of picture of him?
It's from his Facebook page.
Okay.
I would not do that to him.
Just playing. All right. Chicken and dumplings.
What? So what I love about chicken and dumplings is how light, but how filling it is. But it's like that. It's food is something that's not only about just nourishment. It's about that transcending you to another realm or a memory of something. And I think the chicken and dumplings is just this wonderful thing that's a vessel that sends me back to different. It reminds me of a little bit of matzo ball soup. It reminds me of my journeys. It reminds me just of everything about, you know, that communal table that you're sitting down and having something to eat.
You had me at chicken, you know, chicken and dumplings. And
dumplings,
just saying. Yeah. All right. Let's get Chef LJ on the phone. Chef, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me today.
No, a pleasure. Appreciate you coming on. And so, all right. So why don't you give, first of all, have you cooked anything like awesomely delicious and sexy this week? And if you did, what is it?
Yeah, actually, we did an event last night where we did, it was a airline chicken with, and then we also offered a second on a Pacific salmon, wild troll caught, beautiful piece of salmon. And we offered it with a wild rice quinoa medley, some beautiful roasted asparagus. And we did it for about 70 last night. They got the choice of the beef or the chicken. And it came with a kiwi pico. Beurre blanc were the two elements we put on it. Yeah, kiwi. And it was my chef de cuisine's idea that she's done it. And it actually, I questioned it. I was like, are you sure? And she's like, yeah, it's like, you know, you put the tomatoes in there, but you put the kiwi in there too. And I got to say it came out really well, and I'm going to probably use that and it further in my career again. It was the first time I saw it. So I love learning stuff as well.
I think I can get behind that.
And then this, this morning we also did, the same group came in for breakfast and lunch. And a beautiful, I'm in the Palouse of Eastern Washington, where a majority of America's lentils and chickpeas are growing. So we did a beautiful lentil soup, extraordinary sandwiches. And then we also did a local chickpea salad with champagne vinaigrette and roasted vegetables. That was just stunning. So that's in the last 15 hours. That's what food we put out.
I love it. Anything that has to do with lentils, I have to have pecorino romano cheese all over it, and then I'll just eat the crap out of it.
And a side of Italian sausage.
Oh, we,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we put the cheese out with it, and we have some beautiful cheese that we get in, and we grate it up and put along with it, and people just went nuts for it. You know, it was one of those where we're at the last person, and we were about out of lentil soup. And you know, sometimes, you know, people have this adverse reaction to hearing about lentils, but not today. They ate it and they killed a big old pile of that cheese.
I love it. You're saying all the right stuff. Okay, so let's take a minute or so, minute and a half. Why don't you kind of give the audience a little background as to who you are, where you come from, what you do, and I think you've been on some shows and stuff. Why don't you get into that real quick?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Great. So I've been in the industry for 30 years. I've been paying my bills for the last 30 years doing this beautiful craft of ours. And through that time, I've had the opportunity to do some really cool, badass stuff. And I got to work in, you know, a family business. Family had a restaurant for 38 years. I was a partner in, went to culinary school. My dad said, you're not going to F up my food costs, so you go do other stuff. I went and did other stuff and came back as a smart restaurant owner. You know, it's like this young green culinary, and you got to go figure it out somewhere else. So I came back to the family business and worked for the family for about 9 years. I worked into a partnership role, decided that I needed to do more than just stay in Washington State. I needed to do more than just work for the family business, which we were getting great awards and we were doing wonderful stuff for, but it wasn't enough. And so I then went and kind of spread my wings, as they say, and I ended up, I worked in Alaska for a family, a very wealthy family up there as a private chef in their lodge. I cooked for politicians, pro athletes, actors, a whole slew of people from all over the planet. And that was a lot of fun. We were in the middle of nowhere. We flew everything in. It was really high end. But at the same time, we're fishing lodge and lots of wine. And we had one of the most beautiful wine cellars, literally 70 minutes by plane away from the nearest village that had no no roads in or out. So I did that.
Wow.
Had the opportunity. I got asked to move back to Illinois and build a culinary school. Was given a budget and an empty space. We built a culinary school, and my goal was to graduate 10 students in 3 years. When I left at the end of 4 years of my tenure there, I had graduated 52 students. And it is an ACF program that is very successful. One of my instructors took over for me. He's an amazing chef, and he's been running it ever since and keeps growing on it. And that's Richland Community College in Decatur, Illinois. So I was the founding chef of that program. Came back to Washington State. Well, I missed a spot. You asked me about the shows. So while I was doing that back there, I was asked to be the noon goon chef that would fill in on slow news day. So once a month, we'd sit and we'd do 30 or 40 2-3 minute cooking videos. Well, that got noticed by the Food Network as they were looking around, and they asked me to come and participate and work on some development of shows. Like basically come in, build a show, and then know that the show's never going to air, but that they're getting developments to go out and sell the show. And so that was cool. I'd done a little acting and done that. Well, I went and I did a couple of projects, and then I got asked to be on Extreme Chef. And Extreme Chef did a couple seasons. The reason they had a really hard time getting chefs after it aired, because in the season I was in, we had, I think 3 chefs went to the hospital. One chef almost drowned on set. And it was intense. It was ridiculous.
How the hell does that happen? What do you mean they almost drowned outside? Yeah. What do you think, you're going to glaze pass right by that and not get into it? What do you mean?
Well, so one of the things they had to do, I like that glaze, mirror glaze. we had to gather ingredients. Now my episode, I was put in a freezer and I was competing in a freezer all day, and it was cold. By the end of the day, I had hypothermia and frostbite. I actually started to pass out in the final competition, the last round. After 4 rounds of doing it, the fire department got me out, got me blanket, got me some tea. I was ready to go, went back in and competed and won that episode. But the episode where the chef almost drowned, they were on a boat and they had to swim to shore with their ingredients. It was just intense, and it was Extreme Chef, named that for a reason. And, you know, out of all my certifications and badges of courage, I have to say that that show gave me a fine look at what being an extreme chef really is. And so it was a lot of fun, did that. And then while I did that, I picked up other stuff, and I actually got into acting due to that. I had got a couple stuntman roles, and I was on Grimm, the NBC series, as a stunt driver, creepy taxi cab driver. And I was on a movie called Green Room that had a bunch of celebs on it, and that was really cool. And I played a junky guitar player from Portland. That was a lot of fun. So that was a feature film that I did. And then a whole bunch of other films and TV stuff I did from doing the TV competition. And right before COVID, I got asked to go on Guy's Grocery Game for Extreme Budgeting. So I went on there and I took second on that. And so that was the last cooking episode or cooking competition I did on air.
And then somehow you mustered up the chutzpah for Jeff here to actually go back to the kitchen.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely
awesome.
So, food is my passion. It is something that drives me. I feel my lot in life, and I tell my students and my cooks that, you know, this food is a craft. It is a lifestyle. It's an obsession. It's a passion. It's something that we need for substance. It's something that needs to be respected, and it needs to have the utmost care taken as we push into the future of what our craft is becoming through technology and through food sources and how that's all changed in the last 20 years. And the last, 20 years in this industry, I think it's utmost important that we look at what our industry is and what we can do to push it beyond and further than it is and not get stuck and weighed down and where we are.
So, okay. All right. I love the energy. And you did some cool stuff. How do you take that energy and bring it to the ACF? What do you do with that?
Well, you know, first of all, the ACF, I really feel, has given me opportunities that I would not have had. And I say that not maybe as verbose as, you know, somebody else would say. I say it as, it made me be better. It made me strive. It made me look at my certifications, my skill set, how I was able to explain and work through what food is. So for me, the ACF is really, really important to my overall success and who I am as a cook. And I would not be where I was at or where I'm at if it wasn't for where I've been at with the ACF through all these years. I became a member, a student member, when I was in culinary school. From culinary school, I kept that membership up. And like many of us ACF members, it wasn't all, you know, peaches and cream the whole time. There were times where I was disappointed. I didn't like the direction. I wasn't involved in what was going on. And I said, and I always do what I say. If I say it out loud, that means I've made the commitment. And I said to my sous chef one day, I said, you know what? Someday when I have the opportunity, I want to get involved more. That time came. I became local. Local, our chapter was struggling a little bit right before COVID. Well, I guess it was like 2012, 2013, I became vice president of our chapter. I ran two terms. Our president at that time, a good friend of mine, a very amazing culinarian educator, successful chef from Detroit that lives now in Eastern Washington State. And he goes, we can bring our chapter back and we can get this. And we had our old guard that was stepping down and retiring, and we filled the void where they were exiting. And it was a dynamic motion of where we went and what we did. And I believe that same teamwork, that same honesty, that transparency, that direction of why are we doing and how are we doing what we're doing, I can bring to the ACF on a Western Regional VP level, without a doubt.
Are you a restaurant chef?
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture raised, all natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
I'm an everything chef. And so I say everything. I was restaurant chef for years. Right now I am running, it's the Marriott Hospitality and Culinary Innovation Center at Washington State University in Pullman, Washington. We are a dining room. We have student workers. We also have cooks. So we do everything from catering to high-end catering, like what we've been doing the last couple of nights, to having culinary classes. Right now we have an ACF apprenticeship program that we do as well out of here. So we do some education that is just directed towards culinary. And then we also do our cooking. So in a 14-hour day, I teach for probably 5-6 of it. And the rest of the time we are producing food and creating memories in the dining room.
So I'm looking at Jeff right now, and that's kind of an anomaly, right? I mean,
yeah,
that's a different.
Yeah. Most of the people we've been doing, it's either they're a culinary instructor or working for a broadliner. I'm trying to think of some of the, or working for a manufacturer.
Right.
Not many guys are out there. They're doing their own catering. Like what LJ's repertoire is.
That's pretty amazing. That's pretty interesting, actually. So Chef, let me ask you, in terms of offerings from the ACF to an aspiring chef or a chef who's getting closer to retirement, what is the benefit for those two different chefs, different stages of their career?
Absolutely. For the chefs that are retiring and have spent their time, their money, and their energy making the ACF great, I believe, and I know full heartedly that I can take what they have started and keep moving forward with it, keep building on it. I'm young enough to be part of it and have the idea of that young culinarian and what they're looking for, because I work with young culinarians every day. But then I also understand and appreciate where we are as an organization and where we've gotten to. So for those chefs that are moving on out of their career, and someday I look forward to retiring as well, I hope that somebody will pick up where I had left off and moved forward. And for those young culinarians, it's all about, you know, really being the liaison between the older retiring generation and the younger and upcoming generation, is showing that younger generation the importance of what we've done as an organization, important of what the chefs that are moving on have done and have created. This, you know, we're a working, living organization, and we need to have every stages within that represented and appreciated and understood. And part of that's the communications, and part of that is telling people where we've been so we can go to the next place.
So wow, that's pretty good. All right. In terms of charities, and this is important to me, and I'm a member. So in terms of charities, when we're talking about like substance abuse or mental health challenges about, you know, within the food industry with our people, our everyone that we work with on a day-to-day basis, what do you think could be improved, through the ACF in order to address some of those challenges? And there are big challenges, in my opinion.
I agree with you. There are big challenges. And, you know, here's something that our industry, I believe as a whole, made the mistake of having it be where, we just depended on our people to sacrifice themselves every day, day in and day out. And
don't we have to? Because who else is going to do it?
Well,
and that's always been the problem. Who shows up to do it? If the other guy calls out, guy that comes in is the one that has to bear the load. I mean, who else is going to do it?
You're exactly right. And that is something that we as an industry, we have to address. But it can't start just with us cooks. It can't just start with the front of the house or the back of the house management. This has to be an industry across the board. And mental health, substance abuse, Jeffrey and I have been on talks together about the mental health and what that looks like to our industry, where it looks like where we're at now and where we need to get to. And with that, it's going to take an all-out effort. It's going to take our members saying this is what's important, and not just some of us, but dropping the ego of when it comes to, you know what, if no one's going to do it, I'm going to do it. Well, we need to figure out how to create an environment that allows us to keep healthy and keep moving in the direction of forward momentum instead of having these episodes and these breakdowns because we're exhausted, because we're overworked. We have nobody to depend on. And I think this is something that is a larger conversation within our entire industry, not just the ACF. We see it. I've had the opportunity to work with star chefs a little bit and sitting in the audience listening to panels of chefs that have struggled right along. They might have a Michelin star, a couple of them, but they have the same issues we have. Now, they may not be our members, but Why can't we have an industry standard of what it looks like and create an environment that leads to better health? And I know Jeffrey spends a lot of great time and through LinkedIn, and it's dynamic because people don't hear that. They hear, oh no, we're tough. We get in and we do it. And I deal with it with my younger cooks. They come in and they think that they have to be here. I had cooks last night that was in the kitchen with me till 9 and they're back at 5 a.m. They weren't even scheduled. They felt they had to. And I was like, why did you feel you had to come in? Well, because we knew there was an event going on. Well, great. But did you get any sleep? Yeah, chef, I got 2 hours. That's not acceptable. How long can you do this? Yeah, I get you're 21, 22 years old. But those are conversations, and we have to be better as the leaders of having those conversations with the younger chefs of saying, there's self-preservation. I actually, and I we'll move on to the next question.
You need to grab hold of that guy or gal or whoever the hell that is. You need to take him and you need to say, you're amazing. Number one, you're amazing. You came in on your own accord to back up this building, this thing we're doing. You need to get that person, put them on a pedestal and teach them everything. Number one. And then give him a couple of days off.
But listen,
I wish I hire and fire people all the time. And I only,
when he pays them.
Yeah. You know, that's another story. You don't count, buddy.
I don't get paid.
You don't get paid. So I'm talking about, professionally.
Yeah, professionally.
Not this, oops and giggles. Right. No, but the truth is when I encounter somebody who puts in effort and gives, just puts the effort and cares, oh my God, you need to take them and hold them close.
Coddle them
and teach them everything.
Yes, absolutely.
And let them burn out a little bit. They got to put in some work. Let them burn out a little bit, but you need to make sure that you're looking out for their long-term interest, you know? So if you break them up for 3 days, great. Give them a couple of days off, you know?
Well, the other flip side of it too is stop the glorification of what we do, this madness. And then we always, and there's all these memes all over the internet. I think if we took break away from the, well, that's what was done to me. And that's my biggest thing with mental health.
I don't know. I'll tell you something. I'm on the fence and here's why. And here's something.
You always are, because you're like the devil's advocate, you and I.
I know. Well, this is my own experience. Right. When I was at my previous company, I was working, 17 hours a day, but I did that for exactly a year, every day. I didn't take a day off, and I'm not exaggerating. I took no day off for 365 days, and I worked between 15 and 17 hours a day because that was what was necessary to build that particular, that business in that place at that time, and I did it, and I built the team, and I did a lot of stuff, and you know what? That whole time I was doing it, I said to myself, look at me. I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to be the badass I know I can be. Well, at the end of it, I was a pile of crap. I was a big pile of just nothing because it took from my soul. Mm-hmm. With that said, once I took the break, once I, got myself back together again, that is one of my best accomplishments. I look back at that and say, God, I can't believe I did that. Who the hell would do that? And I did it.
Right.
Okay. I don't want to make this about me. All I'm saying is there's something to putting in that effort and giving yourself some of abuse and then reeling yourself back in and looking in the back of what you did. That's all I'm saying. Sorry.
Well, hey, and I agree with you 100%. I would not have done of all the things that I've done in my career if I didn't step up and put that effort out. But I've done those jobs as well where you just kill yourself for it and you get done and you look back and you're like, okay, I did it. Why? And the over glorification, it's out there.
If you put work in somewhere like that, it opens doors. That's what it did for me. Like, for example, we wouldn't be sitting here doing a podcast now. We wouldn't have a magazine. We wouldn't have shows. We wouldn't have any of this. Mm-hmm. It was because of that struggle that this thing has presented. You know what I mean? So with that said, you got to be careful. Cause I'll tell you, I was a mess. At the end of that, I was a mess. I look back now, level-headed, got a direction. Have a great team. Things are moving forward. Different scenario.
Whole different world.
All right.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry for the tangent, Chef. All right. All right. We'll be back.
No, that was great.
All right. Steps. Let's talk about the ACF. Let's talk about, are there steps taken by the ACF to increase engagement with different cultures in the culinary world? Are they effective? In other words, is the ACF embracing what's been happening over the last couple of decades with, we've got a lot of folks that are coming in from other places, and it's not traditional to see some of those folks in executive chef roles or getting that high into the organization. And now it's happening, and it's awesome. Is the ACF positioned properly for that?
I believe at this time, not as much as they could be. And this is something that we as an organization need to put some energy into, and not some, we need to put energy into it. We need to go to the people that should be our members that aren't our members because we haven't reached out to them. And just like you said, there's people coming in to our industry that may not have come into our industry in years past. Creating an environment that is inclusive. I've been in this industry and been part of the ACF long enough. There was a great amount of time where I always felt like the outsider coming in, that I was never, it took many years before I felt like I was truly within the organization. And I don't know how to explain that anymore other than I don't want anybody else to come and spend their money within an organization and not feel that they have value in it. And that value is not necessarily always in dots and O's and dollar signs. That value is acceptance. It's diversity. Our kitchens do not all look, our people do not all look the same. They do come from the same backgrounds, and they need to be addressed. In my kitchen right now this morning, I have a person from Guam that's working with me, and of course American, but a different culture, different mindset than my student that is from Seoul, Korea, that works with me and is just a phenomenal human, just got done traveling with us. And then we have a couple of gals that are with us that, you know, come from my hometown area and have more in value with me. But we have this kaleidoscope of cooks that bring and offer so much. And we need to make it so they feel like they're part of what we do as an organization. It can't be, all right, someday I'll get to that level. Because someday after paying your dues and paying all that, sure. But we need to get them to a point where they want to continue, move forward and say, nope, damn it, this is my organization too. And this is what we need to be successful. And so, no, the ACF has not taken the forward steps to make that be that. And part of that is we have the group of chefs that are, nope, I'm going to work 16 hours a day and I'm going to kill myself and do this. And, you know, if you can't do it, you're weak. And then we have the other chefs that are like, oh, I'm not part of the organization, so where do I have a say? And that we need to be listening to the people that don't feel they have a say, because they truly do, for us to be successful.
Well, so that's a terrific answer to a segue that's coming up here, which is so when you're talking about students and you're talking about the ACF and you're talking about voting rights and stuff like that, how does that fit into mm-hmm. this? How does that fit into the equation?
So, well, I think it needs to, I know it needs to all be looked at. We need to create a process within the organization where we really bring that student population. I know for so long it was like, oh, you know, I believe when I was a student culinarian for the ACF, I couldn't even vote at all, if I remember right, in the mid 90s. And at least I didn't know how I could vote, or say it that way. But you know, we need to address what the student population, because that's our pipeline. That's who's filling it. And my students alone, they think it's really cool. I have the certifications I have and the experiences I have, but to get them to invest their money, it's a conversation that it shouldn't be as big. It should be, they want to be part of it, not why should I be part of it? And we have to prove that and create an environment that creates the want, not the why do I need it, but the why don't I have it mentality. Well,
that's true. And what also plays into this is that in our current environment in the world today, you've got a lot of culinary programs that are closing, right? Or in the process of closing, and it's rough out there. So how can educators help encourage students to student participation in the ACF? How do they do that? How do they put that together?
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
Wow, that's a huge question.
We don't mess around here on the Walk and Talk program.
You don't. So I think for culinary educators, for me, it is really important to show them what my membership means to me, what it means to be part of a collective of like-minded cooks that are using the organization to prove their skill sets. The conversation I had with a young chef this morning, he's got a computer engineering degree next month. And he wants to be a chef.
And did you tell him run?
With me. He's working.
Did you tell him no? Run away! Run! Go the other direction! Get the hell out of here!
I kind of did because I felt really guilty, and that he knows my story a little bit. That you know, I went to culinary school because my folks couldn't afford to send me to college, and so I could have paid myself through culinary school, which I did. But then I wanted to be an attorney, so I worked up in a applied for law school, did my LSAT, got accepted and said, I want to be a chef. And I've told him the story that's, you know, sometimes I question, you know, an attorney would have probably been a little smarter of a move, maybe, but I feel I can help more people in the job I do. I have a great respect in passing on information to people. I just feel honored that I get to do that. And so talking to him today, I'm like, dude, now, you got to ask yourself some questions. What do you want out of life? And he's like, I want to be an executive chef. And I'm like, okay, there's some steps you need to take. How do you want? He goes, I want to really prove that I am as good as I know I can be. And I said, well, with that, you know, there's some things, there's some competitions, there's some things, what do you need from me to help? And I'm very lucky. I'm the chair on our local chapter for our certification, in my ACF apprenticeship program that I'm running. I have, three students that are preparing to do their certified sous chef. They're just finishing up on the time that they are in there. And I have one student that's going for his, certified chef de cuisine. He's an adult learner that's come back, and, they all are going for those steps because they've seen the value that I've had in it. And as a culinary educator, though I stand in the world of education and in dining or in, you know, feeding and dining room and stuff, that is how a culinary educator does it. Not just by words, but by actions and by having the conversations, taking the time to say, hey, here's what I've done. It hasn't been perfect, but here's what's got me to this level. And I have no qualms about saying that the ASCF has made me become the chef I wanted to be. And I may have not even had the opportunities to get to the levels that I have if it wasn't for the people within the organization that has mentored me and has guided me down the direction. I have many chef friends on the East Coast. We've never worked in a kitchen together, but we have conversated time after time, Jeffrey being one of them, over what makes our industry great, what makes our craft amazing and honorable. And those are the pieces that need to be had with culinary educators and their students. Because if we don't have those conversations and we don't prove what's important about what we do, then it's all lost and it's all for naught.
What state are you in?
I'm in Washington State.
You're in Washington
State.
All right. So first of all, love it. What we're going to do, okay? What we're going to do, and first of all, let me back up.
Road trip?
Yeah. No. So let me back up. Yeah,
come on up.
You're echoing a lot of what I've heard from some of the other people running, other chefs running this election cycle. But really what it comes down to, like you just said, is action, right? It's action. It's coming up with a summary of necessary, come up with the ideas and then come up with the action plan to execute those ideas. And damn it, I'm telling you now, I don't know, what number is this? Is it, how many? Is it like six, seven? I don't know.
Yeah, I lost count, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a new member, but I've been dealing in and around the ACF, chef pool for decades. And I mean, like, you know what? I'm going to do something. I'm going to bring you people together. I'm going to make sure things happen, because at the end of the day, it's really just like, what do we need to do? This, this, and this. Great. Let's do it. Come on. Let's make this happen now.
Yep.
And not pussyfoot around.
We don't need seat warmers.
No, you don't need a seat warmer.
We don't need seat warmers.
Right. No, man, this is not right. So, but in terms of, you never worked with Jeffrey?
Not in the kitchen.
Not in a kitchen?
Not formally in a kitchen. Mm-hmm. No.
Oh man.
There's a lot of people that haven't worked with me in a kitchen. And when we do, they're kind of amazed.
I see a new show coming up here.
Yeah.
ACF. No, ACF chefs. Like, and we can, this is formulating right now.
Oh God. Where are you going with this?
No, I mean, listen, no, we'll put you, what you probably don't know, chef, is that, so the Walk and Talk podcast is one component of a larger food industry media platform. Okay. We have a magazine. It's called The Restaurant Life. We have two shows that we put on. One's called Restaurant Recipes, where, you know, we'll actually give chefs a show, Restaurant Recipes with Chef Jonathan Rodriguez, for example. Or, you know, and then we also do the Dirty Dash Cocktail Hour. So we'll go to a hotel or a restaurant bar, a nice one, and we, you know, we feature, you know, the bartender and whatever. Long story short, we're seeing a lot of success in it and a lot of activity, a lot of follows, all that good stuff. But this is kind of what we are. And, you know, being part of this election cycle in terms of the interviews I'm doing with the chefs and everything, I feel compelled to, like, hey, let's highlight some of the ACF chefs. You know, I have not been disappointed with an interview yet. And, you know, and honestly, I was thinking I was going to run into some stuffy chefs, and I haven't, none of them. So I feel like, hey, you know what? We have this platform, Jeffrey. And, you know, Jeffrey, you're an amazing chef and you're part of the ACF a long time. You're a great conduit for this. Mm-hmm. So you know what? You, chef, we're going to get you over here and we're going to do some cooking and we're going to film it. And it's going to be badass. And we're going to do it with the other chefs too. And we're going to promote the ACF.
So we're trying to get the Walk and Talk actually out to New Orleans for the national convention. I don't know if you're going to be there, LJ, but this is one of my ideas, is to get us there so that we can actually start doing exactly what we're talking about, as the members walk by, talking about national convention, but also telling their story and having a little excerpt there so that they can highlight themselves. So I'm working on that.
And LJ, listen,
awesome.
Just so you know, dude, this is probably the first episode. I don't normally get involved this deep in the conversations. But
I can tell you, he doesn't usually. He just asks the questions and looks at me and goes, "Do you have anything to add?"
Right. So, but I feel energy, and true story. But I feel the energy, and I feel like there's some synergies there, and that we can do some stuff together. And I feel that way with a bunch of the chefs that we've spoken to so far. I feel like there's an opportunity to build because everybody wants to build the ACF,
mm-hmm.
and clearly there are some challenges going on that could be easily remedied. But the bottom line is, it's always about, hey, how do we get more people? How do we get new members?
Definitely.
Right. So,
yep.
And at this stage, I've heard it enough times, and you know, it's fallen on your shoulders here now, LJ, but, yeah, we can make some really interesting things happen. Right. So I didn't mean to sidetrack you. This is your show, man. Like, this is not about Walk and Talk or me or whatever, Jeff, it's about you. So forgive me.
Hey, I'll just say I absolutely love Florida. I was down there twice this last year, and I'll be happy to come back and cook and go out. And
I've got kitchens, I've got product, I've got everything that we need to do what we got to do here.
Actually, you have hotels.
I know.
Like the Tampa Hotel and Sally Mar.
I know, man.
So we can definitely find them a really nice spot.
LJ, I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah,
if it wasn't for Jeff and John, I'm really
that's all on you, man.
Yeah, it's not me at all. All right.
I would be happy to do something on that. That would be a kick in the pants. And yes, I plan to be in New Orleans. I fly in on the 15th of July. Just
Board of Governors, you know. Right? You got to be there for the Board of Governors.
Yeah, that's the plan. And so I'm gonna be there and be part of that, and we'll see if I get the nod and the humbly serve the ACF as the Western Region. Then yes, that will be a really big thing.
Well, LJ, let's give them something to talk about here. So let's finish up on I have a few more questions. Let's do that. Cause I didn't want to bogart it, but I felt compelled to kind of jump in there. All right. Over the past couple of decades, we've seen a remarkable rise in the number of female chefs in the food industry. And I know that from my own experiences in just being in kitchens for the last 30 years, it's not as taboo as it used to be. What's the best way for the ACF to foster more of an inclusive atmosphere as a whole for the female chef?
Well, it comes down to the males being acceptant of it. I'll never forget it. I was in culinary school 30 years ago, and there were conversations about being more female chefs. Now, my mom was a pastry chef for almost 38 years. And so I watched the struggles and the misogyny and the crap that went on in her career as I was building in my own career. And having a strong chef in the family that was female and didn't let that world, that non-accepting, non-inclusive world with being a female within it, scare her to, and so she was able to be successful. Not everybody's willing to sacrifice their energy and time to do that. And so that means that as an organization, we've got to look at that. We right now have an amazing female chef that runs our organization. She should be looked at as an example for young female chefs coming up. I actually turned on one of my pastry leads onto who she was. She'd never heard of her. And now she's like following the ACF election race now online and on Instagram. She's on her Instagram, and it connected. And I think for us males that have female chefs, we need to connect our female chefs with other female chefs, other strong women that can help them feel connected. I'm a father of a daughter. I have an amazing wife. My chef de cuisine's female. My pastry chefs are all female. I've got like four males out of all my cooks that are surrounded by amazing, strong women that can cook and can hold their own day in and day out. And that needs to be celebrated. And it needs to be a conversation within us, the dominant male species in the kitchen, to help our female chefs have that connective moment with another female chef. I know for my mom, she was always amazed. She didn't go to culinary school. She grew up in the, you know, old school, school of hard knocks in the kitchen doing that. And when she got towards the end of her career, she was amazed that she was celebrated in what she did. And for me, that was really big to see that for all those years and all the desserts she made, all the people she made happy, the thing that she was very proud of was the people that she was able to maybe not inspire to be a chef, but inspire to be a strong, honest, integrity-driven person. And I don't care if you're male or female, we need to have mentors. But, you know, if we have female chefs that are successful, we need to help them find or help our young culinarian females find them to be inspired. And I watched that just happen with President KBB, and this whole election thing was one of my students. Just she connected with her story, connected with what she's done, and was absolutely, I didn't even expect it. I was just talking. I said, oh, you know, this and this. And she's like, oh my gosh, tell me more. Tell me more. She goes, how do I connect with her? And I said, she's on social media. She's got this. And so for me, that female connection of what is needed needs to be there. And they need to know that there is a respect and an honor that they have that I know wasn't always there in years past in our industry.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, for sure. So let me ask you this. Actually, here's what we're going to do. We're 47 minutes in. Chef, I want you to talk a little bit I want you to talk about your leadership skill and what you see bringing, how you see bringing yourself to the table and making a difference. And that's going to basically, we're going to close out on that. So why don't you go ahead and get into that?
Absolutely. So not only have I been a culinary leader, for 20 solid years in a lead chef position, executive chef position, that's not enough to make you a good leader. Just like in cooking, we need formal training for our skill set. And that's something I saw was very important. And in 2004, I went back to school, got a master's degree in organizational leadership from Gonzaga University. With that, I put a certificate of servant leadership on top of it. And then I did.
Did what?
You still there?
Chef.
Yes, I'm here. And with that, I went and lived with monks and saw how monks take their organization and live. And for me, having that formal training with my years of experience and knowing that this is not ego driven, this is driven for the right of the organization and the might of our members. And that's through integrity and through honesty and doing what you say.
I love that. I absolutely love it. And we're going to pick up on the monks thing too. I just want to thank you for being on the show. Chef Jeffrey, you're awesome. John, Mr. Producer, you're awesome as well. We're going to pick this up, LJ. All right. I just want to tell you that. All right. We are out.
Thanks for having me.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.